T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'll give you that, and I'll tell both of you it bothers me, but what's refreshing, recency bias, is at junctures, I saw Kawhi try to go get Luka. I saw Leonard try to go get Luka, as well as Donovan Mitchell. So I'm sitting back like, okay, I'm seeing that, but what if I were to bring up Steph Curry, Steiny? Defense isn't his forte, but a lot of times we'll see Klay on the right. opposing point guard. And I don't know if it's, hey, and I could be totally wrong here, guys, we want said player to save himself for the offensive end. We'll go have such and such. Or he's so unstoppable, we'll put somebody else on him. I don't know, but you're on to something. But, Steiny, that's totally different than the dunk and business decision. Business, again, here I go. Business decisions, like to call it, to said. Bron in the air, let me just get out the way. I ain't stopping that thing.
And it depends on where you are defensively. If you're in a position to challenge a shot, you're going to challenge a shot. And if you turn down that opportunity, that's a different thing than, okay, LeBron's coming down the lane and you're moving over from the weak side and you're looking to help. That's a business decision, as opposed to, you know, jumping in and trying to challenge a shot that you have no business blocking. Last night, Favors was there. He had an opportunity to maybe make a defensive play. Well, come to find out, the claw brought that not super high, but so strong. And there's guys who've been dunked on way more harshly. I mean, you think about Frederick Weiss, the Frenchman who got jumped over by Vince Carter. That, to me, is more embarrassing. It's more of a shameful act defensively. It's one that you're going to feel more than what happened to Derek Favors last night.
Who did nothing wrong, Steiny.
Right.
That's how great Kawhi was. Favors did nothing wrong, but was just in the wrong spot. So it's interesting to hear you, you know, come from that perspective. But Favors didn't do anything wrong. It was just why we all lost it was the athleticism that was on display.
My major point is that social media has absolutely played a role in what I think is a diminishing of players competing against each other and putting reputations on the line and making themselves vulnerable and open themselves up to losing a game when they laid it all out there, because there's no reward at all for it anymore. Because in our society, you're either a winner or a loser, and there's no nobility in playing to your potential and doing your best and coming up short. So there's been a general lack of guys, to me, who go at each other like they did 15, 20, 25 years ago before social media. Yes or no?
Yeah. I'm going to be humpty on this one.
No. I think it's no. And, you know, you want to use the Brooks and Bryson example. Well, that's different because that's an individual sport. And if you're Bryson DeChambeau and you feel like playing with Brooks would be a distraction that would keep you from being your best, then I can't fault him for wanting to shy away from that. Do I want it as a golf fan? You bet your sweet cookies I want it. But if DeChambeau in an individual sport feels like the scrutiny and the heckling and everything else will take away from what he's trying to do as an individual, well, that's his choice. Now, if you're saying that a team sport player is shying away from a certain amount of competitiveness because of social media, well, that's a totally different story. If Derek Favors won't defend the rim now because he got dunked on by Kawhi Leonard, then that's a different issue to me than an individual sport athlete shying away from a head-to-head matchup that maybe he doesn't want.
Okay, I'll give you I'll give you that. I'll give you that completely. And I don't think it's necessarily a black and white thing that could be measured play by play by play. But I do think maybe it's because of social media there's probably other factors, but I don't believe that players get this one thing, just this one thing we're talking about. I don't believe players get challenged at the rim like they used to, and I think social media has a small part of the reason why. But I think there are other factors, like the way the game's played now. I get all that, but I guess what I'm saying is, and I don't know whether I'm blaming the player or social media, but social media is impacting these guys. It's definitely impacting these guys, and for some of them, the heat is so great on social media that it's just not worth it at times.
I want no part of that league. And, you know, we feel how we feel, Steiny, about the leagues and our athletes. But if Derek Favors or any other player gets dunked on and that takes them to where they're going to turn the fire down in regard to, you know, doing their job, I mean, seriously, Steiny, I'll start bleeding right now, because there's no way these studs, even Favors, as big as he is, are that weak-minded. That's what I'm going to call it, that weak-minded to let, yeah, they know they got put on the blender and it's going to go around, but it'll die and somebody else will come up. But I want no part of what I deem my athletes or guys in the league being that sensitive to where it would change how aggressive or the rim protection. What I'll say about back in the day, Steiny, and I believe this to be fact, Dibs, guys are stronger, faster, jumping higher than they ever have. And sometimes when these guys are in the air, it's a wrap. Just let the airplane land, because you can jump up and get put on that poster. But I can't sign off on that, Steiny. Like Favors is somewhere saying, if I had that opportunity again, I ain't making it because I made the rounds on Twitter or the IG.
So you don't think guys, you don't think in this day and age, guys don't challenge as much at the rim because there's no reward or glory in it? You don't believe at times guys avoid getting posterized?
I don't. And okay. Again, right. I just don't, Steiny. Yep.
All right. Let's go to Pablo in L.A. What's up, Pablo?
Yo. All right. So what we need to understand is media has transcended the game in so many ways. Not necessarily, oh, someone got posted or someone anything, but it also has given its platform for many people who have never been able to see great legends play, like back then when people only had radios and could only hear Michael Jordan play. Now kids all over the world can see when Edwards freaking posterizes someone or anything. And in retrospect, no one in the game of any professional athlete sport has anyone said, I feel discouraged after I got done. I feel discouraged after so-and-so did this play on me. Nobody, not one. Also, if it weren't for those plays, we wouldn't be as interested to be watching them to the high level that we do watch them. So at the end of the day, I just don't see why or where you're getting this idea where people are feeling discouraged after certain plays are done on them. If anything, Stephen Curry has said it himself. He's gone to the locker room after a bad half, and he's seen, you know, Twitter. Not everyone has to go through Twitter, like, I don't know, like Dibley was saying. Some people don't have to go through social media, but Stephen Curry does. And when he does, it ignites him. Okay. For us to see him explode when he comes into that third, fourth quarter.
How about this, Pablo? Will you give me that some players use it as motivation and other guys feel it in the other direction?
I don't doubt that there is, but if you have a if you're going to pout and get upset over someone making a play on you, then I don't think professional sports is for you, to be honest. You can go freaking flip patties for all I care. You know, but you're getting paid millions to perform in your craft. No one's going to pay you millions to play basketball. No one's going to pay you millions to play any sport. And that's the thing. If they don't like it, I highly doubt it'll discourage them from ever becoming, you know, anything. But it's my point being, I highly doubt it would ever discourage anyone from it affecting their career to a major amount.
And I get you. I get you. Again, I think that's a black and white issue, but I think he hit my point. Players, he said, players are paid millions of dollars to perform. Notice he didn't say players are making millions of dollars to compete. That's basically my point, that it's performance more than competition these days.
Yeah, that's just part. I think it comes with the territory to where the compete is part of it. Steiny, you don't it's a given. You don't even have to say it. You know, this is what you sign up for. But outside of this example, you know, I win football. How can a football player avoid that? The smoke. How can a baseball player, if Randy Johnson's on the hill, how can he avoid the 100-mile-an-hour I mean, it's part of his job. So, you know, I get the Chambeau thing, and I wish they were paired up. But other than that, I don't see the parallels to where, you know, guys are using this to run from the smoke.
All right, let's try to give some money away on the other side. And there's some Warriors news that we're going to share with you on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
I'm Joe Montana.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, let's try to give away some money. Time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word VIVID, V-I-V-I-D, to 72881. That's VIVID to 72881. It's brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Why did Draymond last year choose not to compete? Do we agree that he chose not to compete last year?
He was hurt.
Draymond.
So, no, we don't agree. Yeah.
Oh, Draymond.
We don't agree.
Well, Guru, you – okay. Guru,
no, he was – that ain't my answer.
I thought you were asking me. Yeah. No.
Goo?
He was frustrated. He wasn't hurt. He didn't want to be out there. He was out there with bums, and they said as much management. It wasn't worth it, so we took him off. So, I that's my answer. It wasn't an injury to me.
Right, and so just because he was playing with a bad team, he chose not, he begged off. Because he knew he couldn't win, he begged off. Like, that's kind of my point, is why wasn't there any way that he could put in 100% effort where even though the Warriors might not have made the playoffs, he would have reinforced his reputation or even built on his reputation? Because was there nothing to gain from it?
Obviously not. And you look at the Defensive Player of the Year rankings this year, he finished third, and management gave him the license or even helped him, guys. Say, it's not worth it. Let's put the car in the garage and think about next year. And next year was this year, obviously, and it didn't work out. But I don't think he quit, Dibs, but he definitely – it wasn't worth it to put those miles on the body, tax them, when they weren't going to win.
Well, the guy played 63 games last year, so I don't know where the notion of him not competing or, quote, begging
the year
off.
Before that, it was the year before that.
19 and 20?
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, the year Curry got hurt.
Well, Curry got hurt.
Right. Okay. So in that year, he played, what, they had 65 total games, and he played about 80% of them. And I just don't know about the notion of him, quote, not competing. If you're on a terrible team and you're getting blown out night in and night out, are we expecting him to go full JTA and dive into the seats for loose balls? It's the nature of pro sports. And if you're on a bad team and you're in a losing situation, you're not going to play at the same level of intensity as you are in the playoffs or in a playoff push. That's all players. I don't know why you're singling him out.
Well, I'm singling him out because I know for, you know, I know Guru kind of thinks that along my lines that they didn't push him. They did, because they couldn't win, they were going to take it easy.
They wanted to preserve him, Steiny.
But I'm not, okay, and I guess what I'm saying is I'm not sure that happened as much in the past.
What if you're a Draymond fan, Dibs, and you go to the game and pay your chicken like I did to the Laker game, just one game 2 years ago, and he gets thrown out in the first 7 minutes of the game,
right?
And you get the feeling, I've been around the block, you know? He didn't want to be out there. And if management is okay with that, then did he really quit? Or do I give a rat's ass about what management thinks? I'm going to see my favorite player who the things weren't rosy around him, so he's not going to play. Is that a pass? It sounds like it.
Well, he's averaging 28.5 minutes a game for his career, and in this year we're talking about, he averaged 28.4 minutes a night. So, I mean, I don't know what the expectation is. Last night, I'm going to the Giants game tonight, and the prices that we were able to get tickets for on the secondary market are half of what the tickets were going for last night. And that's because last night, Madison Bumgarner was expected to pitch. If you did the math a couple weeks ago, he was scheduled to pitch last night. Well, he's not well. He's hurt. So if you had tickets for last night's game and you paid double what I'm paying tonight, that's a bad beat. If you bet the Portugal-Hungary under at 2.5 and you saw the atrocity of the Hungarian defense late and that game goes over, that's a bad beat. And if Draymond's your favorite player and you happen to go to the game and he gets thrown out in the first quarter, that's a tough break. It's life. That's the way it happens in pro sports.
Let's go to this or that. Why don't we do that? And let me set it up this way. Head to 95.7 The Game on Twitter right now to check out our daily This or That poll. We're going to give you two things to choose between. You can vote on Twitter. We'll discuss our answers on the air today. Today's This or That poll, I think it's an easy one. Phone call or text message? Phone call or text message?
That's crazy.
Somebody,
which one are you going with? You said it was easy.
It's a text message.
Yeah.
Text message.
Yeah, you and I have exchanged probably 11,844 texts over the course of a 15-year back and forth. We've probably talked on the phone 12 times, including the ill-fated Salt Lake phone calls and then the return calls when I couldn't find you and I was worried about you and you were about 7 miles away. That comprises about half of the phone calls, but I'm with you, Steiny. I'm a text message guy. If you're calling me, it had better be important. It had better be emergent. So I'm text message as well, Goo. Is it a clean sweep?
No, it's not a clean sweep. And I'm not just doing this because, man, here we are criticizing the world, basically, and not understanding social media and its evolution in everything we do. But if you love me, call me. This was never a question back in the day, Steiny and Dibs. It was a phone call. If it's real, hit me. I want to hear your voice. Why do we do text now? Let me text, but I don't want to talk. I want to talk. I want to hear your voice. That's just me, guys. And I just hate that everything now is done electronically to where if I call somebody, what are you doing? What are you thinking? So to me, I'm old school. It's that phone call.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear from Dibs? Why you want to do the? I'm just anybody. My dad, Norm, I love him. He don't text. He calls. Sometimes too much. But I like that. I want to hear your voice.
Well, Goo, you can still hear my voice if I send a voice to text. You can do that. You can send voice messages through text now. So I don't even need to call you.
Yeah. What happened to that connection, though? Voice to voice. Hey, it's my good friend. What's up, Steiny? Hey, what happened to that?
You can just hit a text and say,
we're ruined, man. We are
Hey,
I love you.
Then I may not get it in 10, 20 minutes from now. See, I just like the voice-to-voice, man.
Old school.
Little Warrior news out there. The Golden State Warriors have hired, and I hope I'm saying this right, Dejan Milicevic.
Yep.
He formerly coached Nikola Jokic. He's going to join the Golden State Warriors staff. Of course, they lost Jaren Collins. He's 44 years old. And again, he was the former coach of Nikola Jokic. Maybe they're setting the table, the Warriors are, to make a free agent run at Jokic by bringing his boy in.
Or maybe they're trying to give Wiseman some of the Jokic education. Milosevic is known for being the Serbian Barkley. There's some good shots of him playing as an undersized big, and you know, maybe he brings a little bit of that toughness and some of the Jokic skill set to James Wiseman.
And I was lobbying for Wiseman to have his own personal coach, Donnie, last year. Somebody, you know, that tall that knows what it's like. But for this young man to be undersized, I'm not saying he does it. And you look at Joker, so he knows what he's doing. But damn, Stoney, and maybe that guy doesn't exist. I just wish a guy that was dominant in the league, a Ralph Sampson, who I know is, I don't even know where he's at. But somebody like that, Dibs, just know what it's like to deal with the pressure and grow. Like Pat Ewing's at Georgetown, but somebody like that. I'm not saying this guy's not worthy, but he ain't 7 foot. He ain't the size of Wiseman. But Jokic ain't either. So they're both bigs.
Do you guys think, and first of all, tell me if you agree with the premise, that one thing that we've seen in this year's playoffs is that, yes, you can have big men that are still very important, whether it's Jokic, whether it's Embiid, whether it's Gobert, who else? Capella is a big center. Mm-hmm. Ayton, obviously. Has that impacted – do you think that – is there any parallel there to Wiseman? Which, because of those, you think, you know what? Wiseman's too important to even think about moving now because we can kind of see the horizon and big men might be coming back.
If your big man is skilled, and that's the difference, and that's where you look at, I think Joel Embiid is kind of the modern blueprint of what you want your 7-footer to be. And he's a little bit hobbled right now, and he was terrible in the second half, and I tweeted about it. I buried him, Stiney, immediately.
Did you tweet, Dibs?
On social media. On the gram. I crushed him on Facebook. I even opened up a TikTok just so I could take a swipe at Joel Embiid and be the first one to say he's overrated. And then when he bounces back next game, I'll be at the forefront of, hey, Embiid, he's the new mold of the big man. But that
okay, Dibs.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. And miss you, by the way, BPA. That's what you want James Wiseman to be. You want him to be one of these hybrid bigs, a guy who can protect the rim, grab some rebounds, but also can skill and score inside and outside. So I think to your point, Steiny, the Warriors look at what we have here in the playoffs with these bigs and say, this is what we want Wiseman to be. Now, whether or not he can be that, only they and James Wiseman know.
And they know. And why I get scared, Steiny, to answer your question is, I don't even care about Wiseman's offense. Obviously, I do. It's his defensive presence. And you got to have some bricks in the back pocket. And right now, he doesn't have bricks. He's skinny. He needs to get stronger. We all know that. But again, in my Star Trek reference, he's in sick bay right now. So I don't know if any of those things are happening. So when he comes back to you, to the team, will he have gotten thicker? Would he have gotten stronger? I don't know, but my guess, if I had to bet, would be no, and that's what concerns me. But I'll say this, when you bring up Wiseman, Steiny, I was a little nervous about Ayton. I didn't know if he was – I was like, uh-oh. And all of a sudden now he's a factor. You know, he ain't big as Embiid, but he gave Jokic all that and made it hard. He made him work, Dibs, and that's all you can ask for. So if I'm the Warriors, Ayton is my comp defensively for James Wiseman.
Yeah, I wonder – If Wiseman can be that defensively. I mean, I know he's got all the physical tools, but if we have to be honest with each other, his defense is way behind his offense. Not only just is it because he's a young player who's probably concentrated more on offense, but also it doesn't seem like he really understands at this point some defensive schemes. And I'm wondering, you know, how long that may take for him to develop that, because I don't know that that happens overnight sometimes, but does it make Wiseman more valuable than maybe he was, let's say, at the start of the season before we ever saw him.
Potentially more valuable. I think you look at the tantalizing upside of what a player like James Wiseman can be. But then you look at other bigs like, and I hate to pick on Jahlil Okafor, but a guy, you know, who's big body, who had some early skill, and he never developed it. And you look at other former Warriors big guys, Patrick O'Brien and Anthony Randolph, guys who were tall, long, and skilled, who never became the player that the Warriors would have thought that he would become. So it doesn't all go through Wiseman, but when you watch these playoffs, and even a guy like Clint Capella, who is never going to be the most offensively skilled guy on the floor, he's a pretty darn good defender inside and out. He can play the dunker position, and he's got some utility offensively. If you could get Wiseman to be Clint Capella over the next couple of years, you'd be happy with that.
And, Steinie, if I were to ask you right now, do you think he would have the year two jump that Aiden had? I can't speak for you. I would love to hear your answer. I think I know where you're going, but how could anybody even say yes when the guy may not even start the season ready to go?
It's Aiton's third year, so there's a little bit of a difference there, but you know, through no fault of Wiseman, he's been hindered by COVID, and now he's been hindered by injury. And yeah, Goo, I think, and Dibs, I think that it's stunted his growth already, and it may continue to stun it. But you know, it's not his fault, and maybe we are expecting too much from him. I mean, I definitely think, you know, we expect too much of Wiseman at this point. Like I'd like to almost put a time, you know, get back to me in 2 years with Wiseman, not next year mid-season, but 2 years. But the problem is the Warriors maybe don't have that time to let him develop.
They don't. And if we're talking about Steph's window as the time frame, and you know, it's not so much him developing, quote unquote, and you know, going from zero to KG in a year, but can you get to the next step? And this year it was one step forward and two steps back, and then he took two steps forward and then he got hurt. And so you're left with a big question mark, because you thought, okay, here's a guy who played three games in college. He's 19 years old. He's a project. And you eased him in and you saw some warts, you saw some greatness, and then he struggled. And then there was a little stretch Guru likes to talk about where he was playing great, and then he got hurt. So you don't know if that trajectory was going to continue upward, if that was the peak. And so there's so many unanswered questions. And then you also look at what's to face him this upcoming year, where he's not going to be ready for training camp. So it'll be 2 years of no training camp, and he won't be able to hit the ground running. So you're probably right, Steinie, as far as his timeline. DeAndre Ayton in his third year, now a solid player on a playoff team, you really can't expect that from him next year.
And I call it his basketball puberty, Steinie and Dibs. Mm. That's what we're waiting on. And, you know, numbers do lie. And let me tell you, I'm not saying he played bad last year, but to all the people ad nauseum that kept telling us, well, he averaged more than Garnett. He averaged more than all these other centers that came out young. It wasn't about that. It's what we're talking about. And I'm grading on a curve when all the Warriors expected was that defensive presence that they didn't get. That's where the problems were, and that's what's scary to me is defensively, when will he get that and grasp it?
I think you nailed it, Goo. I think that's the fairest of the fair points. You know, forget about his offensive game. Can he become somebody who makes the Warriors just a bigger team in general? Because a lot of times last year, when he was off the floor, they were just really, really small. They were a really small team, and I think they paid the price for it at times. By the way, did you guys see that Draymond Green and Damian Lillard, but for our sake, it's Draymond Green, has committed to play in the Olympics. Draymond Green has committed to play in the Olympics. I don't think that means he's definitely on the team, but I think it means he's likely to, because there's going to be a lot of guys who pass on it. So Draymond Green, we talk a lot about Curry. What about Draymond?
That's big. It's big for Draymond and big for his brand as Draymond tries to get to that next level. And you think about the career arc of Draymond Green out of Saginaw, Michigan State, great college career, second round pick. And we know second round picks don't normally work out, let alone become, you know, all-stars, DPOY, all-defensive team.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Team U.S. Olympian. So I think that this becomes a chance for him to get to another echelon, go to Japan and be an American ambassador and go out there and, you know, rub elbows with the people as much as you can during this pandemic and really build his brand, because the gold medal, not that it's a guarantee, but the U.S. is probably pretty significant favorites to win the gold in basketball. So, yeah, Goo, if he could go to Tokyo, win a gold, and really kind of be the face of this U.S. Olympic basketball team, what would that do for his future worth as a basketball ambassador?
Oh, he definitely is a brand, and Dibs, it would be big. And you know what, Stoney? When he was on TNT not too long ago, I undersold that. Not that it wasn't a big deal, because it was, but he was spectacular. Now I look forward to what I was ripping him for, the tweets. Well, obviously his team's not playing. But do I dare say, Dibs, it's bigger than just the brand aspect of it? His team hasn't made the playoffs in 2 years. Maybe he just wants to play. But if I'm Joe Lacob, and nobody can ever say this, so I'll speak for Joe. If it was Daryl Lacob, if I had that chicken, I would be nervous and sweating every time he took the court, because I know what's happened to my team 2 years in a row. I know everything is predicated on when's Clay going to be back. Now my rookie is in sick bay. Nothing, please, basketball gods, has happened to my power forward. And that's just, I'm sorry, that's what I think about before. Oh, it's a beautiful story. He got to go get the gold. I'm thinking about my team, and I just hate that he's playing, but I understand it.
I wonder why, maybe, you know, you try to get as much as you can when you can, but, I mean, he won a gold medal in 2016. Like, why does he want to go back again? And you might say, well, it's the Olympics, but it's going to be like half an Olympics. There's all kinds of problems in Japan with COVID. I don't know why. Like, I get why Curry would, because he's never won a gold, but Draymond's got a gold medal. Like, why? I don't know. Why would he want to play again? I do think there's, I don't know, I don't want to say ulterior motive, but I do think there's other stuff going on than just adding to his resume.
Yeah, but we always talk about resume, and at the end of the day, if he's a 3-time champion and a 2-time gold medalist and a 5-time All-NBA defense, and he's a, you know, 2-time DPOY, whatever those numbers end up being, that's the way we look at people. He knows that, and he, you know, sitting up there on TNT, what does Shaq say to Charles every other sentence? Oh, Chuck, you don't know that. You never won a ring. And it's like that's constantly being put in Charles's face, and so... You know, what would Kenny Smith be without his 2 rings? Would he be on that show? Probably not.
Yeah. 95.7 The Game wants to send you on a trip to the Silverado Resort and Spa in Napa. Enjoy a 2-night stay, a round of golf, and a $250 food and beverage credit. To be entered, download the free Odyssey app on your smartphone and favorite 95.7 The Game. That's Odyssey, AUDACY. Search for 95.7 The Game and hit the heart icon in the top left-hand corner. That's it. Download and favorite, and you'll be entered to win. For more details, visit 957thegame.com/contest. Draymond Green, also a member of the first-team all-defensive NBA team. Did a Warrior get slighted? We'll talk about it on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
bird.
They call Bird Bird. Why? Because he looked like a bird?
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, so Draymond Green has committed to the Olympics. Again, it doesn't mean he's automatically on the team, but I'm pretty sure he got a nod, nod, wink, wink that if he committed that he would be on the team. And now we just wait to see what Steph Curry's going to do. And somebody on the text line asked, do you think Curry's more or less likely to play in the Olympics now? And I think maybe there's something to that because we know Draymond doesn't like to play without Steph. So maybe he didn't commit, but he knew – maybe he didn't commit until he knew Steph was playing, and Steph told him he's going to play. So then Draymond, because you know, loves to play with Steph, now he committed. What do you think about that theory?
It's not a bad theory. I think Steph ultimately will make his own decision, but I would have a feeling that he and Draymond have had a discussion about it, and – you know, Draymond making the first declaration because he needs to be one of the first to declare in order to maybe earn a spot, quote unquote. Steph Curry can decide whenever he wants and he's on the team. Draymond as a guy who may or may not be a guaranteed in the top 15. I'm assuming they take 15. They might only take 12, but Draymond declaring early makes more sense. Steph can pick and choose when he wants to go.
The chef. And I remember, you know, that exhibition him and Dame put on at the All-Star Game, Steiny. I just wonder, and I know Steph wants a gold medal over everything, but how enticing it is to get with Oakland's own Dame Lillard and play with him. Like, will that put him over the top? I could play with Dame.
Yeah, I just can't believe that Draymond would have, quote-unquote, committed to the Olympics, but he didn't know if he was going to make the team or not. You know what I mean? Because if he doesn't make the team now, I mean, I just can't see him not making the team. I don't think they'd embarrass a guy like that. I really don't. But there's a lot of guys who aren't going to play. LeBron's not playing this year. Curry's got to decide. I got to believe that there's going to be a lot of players. I can't imagine Kawhi Leonard's going to play or Paul George, especially the guys who go late into the season. So they may be. They may actually be scraping for players a little bit this year, especially this year because guys feel like they need the time off, I think, after the last 2 years.
Scary, man, especially Dibs with the what you talked about earlier. I know the pandemic technically is over, but not over there it's not. They still got some things to work out, and I'm just like – I just can't see how an American player would want to say that I want the gold so much that I would put myself, not in harm's way, but to a degree, something to where they don't got their stuff all ironed out yet. And that's why I'm still shocked these games are going on.
Yeah, it's shocking, but at the same time, you realize that it's all about M-O-N-E-Y, and the Olympics are huge, huge money, not necessarily for the cities that have to spend all the money to build the stadiums, but for the countries and for the United States and the TV ratings and across the globe, it's a huge event. And even though vaccination rates vary from country to country, the games must go on.
Yeah, they're definitely going to go on. There's no doubt about that. I heard Steve Kerr a month ago said there's no talk about the U.S. not sending a team over there or the U.S. not participating. So, yeah, it's going to happen. Another good point from the text line is that, you know, Steve Kerr's coaching the team or one of the coaches. So there's a good chance Draymond will make it. Draymond did make the first team all defense, which was announced yesterday. And there was a Warrior player who some people thought should have gotten some consideration but didn't. No love for Andrew Wiggins. I should say a sliver of love for Andrew Wiggins, guys. He got 1 second team vote. Andrew Wiggins, did he get... Andrew Wiggins, 1 second place, 1 second team vote, fair or foul?
Why, that's, I mean, fair. I don't know where the vote came from. Who else got second team votes?
Oh, there were a lot of people that just got one, but he was down near the bottom. There's a first team, second team, And so he got one total vote. Just one. So, I mean, there were,
wow,
I don't know, 30, 35 guys on the list.
Number
you know,
one.
After it all shook out, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, I thought Wiggins had a great, some great defensive metrics.
He did, but you look at the list of the players who made the all-second team, Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Matisse Thybulle, and Kawhi Leonard, all with, you know, that's a pretty strong defensive group, and Gobert, Simmons, Green, Holiday, and Giannis on your first team, and all those guys on the first team have multiple all-defensive team selections, Ben Simmons with two, Drew Holiday 3, Giannis 4, Gobert 5, and Draymond 6 total, 4 first and 2 second. So for me, the all-defensive team feels a lot like the gold glove does in Major League Baseball, where reputation plays a huge part of it.
I think you might be right, Dibs, because our very own Bob Fitzgerald said the metrics indicated last year that Kawhi Leonard wasn't as good of a defender as Andrew Wiggins.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when he said that, Goon?
Fake internet crap.
No, Bob, you said it. You said it yourself.
Where is Bob? Yeah.
He's probably on hole number nine somewhere.
What is going on here?
And also, the one thing NBA related I want to quick get into was basketball. Yes, I want to get into that. The cracking down on the unnatural shooting motions. Players like Trae Young were talked about, James Harden. Do you think they really will be able to make this a point of emphasis and to stop offensive players from either leaning in or leaning backwards or kicking feet out? Do you think they can do that? And the other issue I really want is, do you think the NBA wants there to be better defense in the league? Do you think they want it?
I do. And this is the start of it right here. I mean, Steiny, to answer your first part of your question, if they need help, call me. It is apparent to the naked eye when a guy is kicking himself out or doesn't have a good shot, but we know what he's doing. So this will, to me, cut that out and lead to better defense, because nothing's worse than a guy going to the line. We all see it and we talk about it on the same program. Three shots when they didn't have a chance in hell of making the bucket, Dibs. So the leg kick out. Out, the flop, if we want to call it that, all they got to do is go to the monitor and they can rectify the problem. And I'm tipping my cap to Silver in the league for putting their eyes and taking care of this problem, because this is a thing of the past.
Well, it's a can, but it's a will, and the will, and they won't. And that's where Adam Silver is giving you all the lip service he needs, because the whole idea of a flop, you know, it used to be where if you intentionally flopped, then you could be called for the foul. And until they institute a system where you can actually issue technical fouls to these players and make it a punishment that will be a deterrent, then this is going to continue. So this is a classic case of lip service where we're going to clamp down, and you'll see next year in the regular season, early on with the flail kick, they're going to call it a ton. And as the season goes on and the hysteria wanes, they're not going to call it. And in the playoffs, they absolutely won't call it. They can't even deal with their own flagrant foul situation, where last night you had a clear-cut case where a guy gets hit in the head. We go to the monitor, and nope, common foul. Meanwhile, the previous night, the famous chop from Jokic, where he gets 90% ball, 10% nose. Well, that's a flagrant too. But last night, we have a play at the cup where a guy gets absolutely drilled unequivocally in the head, and it's just a common foul. So until they get that right, you can miss me with all this rhetoric.
I'm actually right on the same page with Dibs. Oh. No, I'm on the same page with Dibs. I'm not going to get excited until I see it enforced consistently. And, you know, if you enforce it consistently, guys will stop doing it. But it's a process, I think. But Goo, since you're excited about it, the fact that the NBA is going to address the unnatural shooting motions, clearly you are excited that Major League Baseball is going to crack down on the sticky stuff. Pitchers are going to get 10-game suspensions if they're found to be using any of the sticky substances, and they can be checked for it. Can be checked for it twice a game. So, good for the ML. Good for Major League Baseball to address this problem. Goo, right? It's the same as the NBA.
No.
What's
no,
the
not at all. They hurt me. They cut me. Major League Baseball, you did it to me again. Your boy. I'm right here. Union City Zone. You do the cockamamie extra inning rule, the runner on second, the three batter minimum with the relievers, and here I am doubting everything that I'm watching come out of a pitcher's hand. I'm like the cat's out the bag, and you're going to give 10 games to cheaters that are affecting and already have the outcome of games? What kind of message is that? Let me help you out. It's no message. Why not 50 games, guys, if you wanted to lay the hammer down? This is like steroids, they're saying. Why only 10 games and get this, they still get paid? What kind of pat on the ass is that? That don't sound like no punishment. Send a message so it's gone. Vamoose. Vanish. Done. Give me 50, Dibs.
Yeah, they don't want that, though, which is the same reason why they're not going to really change the rule about flopping in the NBA. Steiny asked earlier about defense. They don't want defense in the NBA. They want highlight 35-foot three-pointers. They want majestic dunks. They want points, and it's the same thing with Major League Baseball. And the fact that, you know, we're going to come down on these pitchers, well,
wow.
Watch who they catch when they eventually catch pitchers. It won't be Trevor Bauer, and it won't be Garrett Cole. It's going to be some reliever or some fifth starter, and baseball is going to say, oh, see, we're clamping down on all these goop users, all these spider tack cheaters. Well, you're not really going after the ones who are doing it the most and at the highest level and the frontline players.
And Goo, I'm putting you on the spot in one
won't
second.
Be the first time. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna have to put you on the spot. But first, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM at HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station, and this segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.